Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Good morning, folks, and welcome back. It is our last day that we're broadcasting here from the host committee booth, and we want to thank them for all that they've done for us today. It's been absolutely incredible. And I want to thank Mike Haas for joining me as well. It's always a pleasure to have Mike sitting at my side broadcasting, and he's a wealth of knowledge on so many different fronts, and I appreciate saying it.
We'll see.
But I know he's exhausted.
No, it's been fine. It really hasn't been... you know, we're here in the host committee spot, and Ellie Hamlin and the host committee and all the PR committee, really 5 weeks ago, when you had the international media come in, there's been so many events that lead up to this that most people don't know about. But now we're kind of like, okay, it's, you know, it's game time.
Hurry up
the
and wait,
rehearsal,
right?
And like Sunday, I'll get to work probably, I don't know, 7, 8 o'clock and 5:30 kickoff. So Sunday will be an enormously long but yet fantastic day.
No, absolutely. And a lot of people don't know, Mike, that you actually participate and work with ASM, mm-hmm. the group that is hired by the Louisiana Stadium Exposition District. To actually operate a number of facilities that they control. And so everything that happens there goes right across y'all's desk.
Until this week, until this month.
Yeah, right? And then the NFL came in.
NFL
right?
is and great partners, but yeah, it's their event, it's their building. And yeah,
right.
the LSED owns the building. It's funny that, you know, that came out of an amendment in 1966.
Yeah.
And still, the Superdome Commission, it's always all over the place, but it's the LSED that owns the building, ASM, Legends ASM, the managing...
Recent merger.
And the kind of the cool part about it for Legends ASM, this is the third straight Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
They manage Arizona, they manage Allegiant, and they manage here. So back to back is pretty impressive, all under the tutelage of Doug Thornton, who I wouldn't want his job for 10 minutes, more or less.
I saw him the other night.
He
and Jay Cicero.
Man,
neither one of them are
just
busy,
work,
right?
work, and such fine people.
Well, Mike, we got a great lineup today. Ramp up to the Super Bowl 59 continues. We'll visit with Marcus Brown, chair of the Super Bowl host committee, senior vice president, general counsel for Entergy. They have been huge as a corporate partner for the host committee. And then at 11:30, a lot of folks want to know who produces those wraps on these big buildings, right? And who produces the lighting show? Well, a good friend of mine actually does, Arthur Bubba Boisfontaine. He's the CEO and digital creator with CCI Productions. He thinks on a different plane from everybody I know.
They do a ton of stuff at the Caesar Superdome, from banners and the medallion hanging in the middle. And I know Bubba as well. I was like, we didn't have a problem with Arthur. We could have handled it. It's the last name we need the nickname for.
Yeah. Got to figure out a way to eliminate that. And then Lee Steinberg, legendary sports agent. I mean, you know, even if you just know a little bit about sports, you've heard of Lee Steinberg, right?
Right. I mean, he has been around. He was, the forefather. And kind of the cool thing that he's doing now, I'm interested to talk to him, besides trying to get an invite to the party tomorrow night, is that, you know, he
no
has...
Shame. Right, no shame. No shame, Mike.
And they sent me, I got an email from his, you know, company to cover the event as the media.
Like, well, yeah, I got one,
that's
too.
That's not really what I wanted. But he has an agent school. Right, because I mean, if you ask most people, even if they're not attorneys, they'll go, "Dude, I can be an agent. I can do that.
Yeah.
Make all that money, 4-5%" And so he's trying to really kind of get that next generation ready for what the job really is. Yeah,
there's a science to it,
yes,
for sure. Absolutely. And then I'm really excited about, I guess, at 10:30, Mike. His dad was, he was my favorite. His dad was my favorite quarterback back in the '60s. I was born in L.A. And so I migrated to being an L.A. fan before the Saints got here, and that is Roman Gabriel III.
Yep.
For those of you that don't remember him, he's about 6'4", 6'5", about 230, 235. He was Filipino. Mm-hmm. I did not know that as a child, and I don't know when I ever learned the fact that he was.
I don't remember. My thought process was, because I was the same way. For some reason, I grew up in Washington, D.C., and I was like a stubborn teenager, and I'm like, I don't want to follow my team anymore. So I picked the Rams for no godly reason. I have no idea.
As Tommy Tucker says, the Rams, when they were the Rams.
Rams, right. And so they were like my favorite team. So, and I'd be curious if it was something that they have kind of brought to the forefront of late, or if back then in the early 60s, because you're right, I don't, you know, I know you did some acting. I also didn't know that Roman Gabriel III played football himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to talking to him as well.
Absolutely. And our guest that we have right now, and they have been huge. A lot of people don't realize, Mike, that the NFL, as well as the sponsors, right, that have helped with the host committee and everything else, they all want to leave a legacy. They want to leave something behind. It's just not about putting an event on, right? It's about being a change agent for our city and leaving something behind of significance. And their particular project is Impact 59 Legacy Grant Committee, and the chair of that is Patty Riddlebarger, and she joins us. Patty, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me. So exciting.
Absolutely. Well, it's finally here, but you guys have been working hard for a long time. If you would, explain to our listening audience, Impact 59.
Absolutely. So, you know, right now there's so much excitement and energy happening in the city. That'll be gone come Monday. But what is going to last is the impact of a special program called Impact 59, powered by Entergy, and it's the official legacy grant program of Super Bowl 59. The mission of the program is to leave a legacy of philanthropy and economic impact across the greater New Orleans area, not just Orleans Parish, but also Tangi, St. Tammany, St. Charles, St. James, St. Bernard, Plaquemines, Washington, and St. John Parish. I hope I didn't leave out Jefferson, but the entire 10 parish region is the recipient of a $3.5 million grant program that was privately raised funds that have been awarded to 65 local nonprofits across the area. And the grants range from $25,000 to $250,000. Funding programs such as youth development, workforce training, education, health and wellness, and equitable opportunities for all of our residents. So it's been a tremendous honor to chair the committee that made this possible. I want to make a huge shout out to the donors, including Auctioner, the Saints, Venture Global, United Way of Southeast Louisiana, the NOLA Coalition, Entergy Charitable Foundation, and of course the NFL that made all of this goodness possible.
Patty, Mike Austin, just wanted to talk about a couple of those areas because they're so crucial as we look forward to the next generation, and that is workforce training. And I know that you're a big supporter of the STEM careers, and when you look at all the companies and the nonprofits that are involved in workforce training, and then youth development, I mean, there's like 15, I mean, there's 20 some total. Those two areas, they're all important, don't get me wrong, but those two areas have to be significantly important.
Oh, absolutely. They will drive the future of our region. I firmly believe that. So some of the programs that are funded in the workforce training space include United Way of St. Charles Parish, which does workforce training for adults who are unemployed or underemployed. Also, the New Orleans Career Center does tremendous work providing skills for young people who are ready to go into the workforce, but maybe they don't have everything that they need and they need a little bit of additional training. Organizations like First 72 provide services for individuals who are returning to our community after having been formerly incarcerated. We want to make sure that they get the training that they need so that they become productive members of society and they don't reoffend. Programs like STAIR, which provides tutoring for young people so that they can stay on track in school and graduate on time. Those are some of the incredible programs that have been funded. Also, the Youth Empowerment Program, if you're familiar with that, they do great work with young people in our community.
What will happen? So this happened in Impact 58 in Las Vegas, and I think I read somewhere they partnered with about $3 million in grants provided to the Las Vegas nonprofits. And, you know, we're not playing, you know, games, but you guys did more. Well done. How will...
Just saying.
Just saying, facts are facts, right? I mean, I'm just a news reporter. Facts are facts. How will this continue? Will there be some type of handoff to Santa Clara to kind of get them going? Because you want this to grow and be as impactful in other places as it is here.
Absolutely. In fact, I've already been in contact with my counterpart in San Francisco to help them so that hopefully they can do even more for their community. I mean, the more that can be done to help local communities, the better. And it's a positive competition.
You know, Patty, we've heard a lot on air, all of the talk show hosts, and I'm sure Mike has heard the same. You know, folks are like, why do you wait for a Super Bowl, you know, to engage in all of this? The truth is that we don't really do, right? But you leverage this because of the amount of exposure and everything else that you can get, trying to create momentum for these programs to succeed, right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, a lot of this work is work that goes on all the time. These nonprofits that do this work, they're here 365 every year doing this work. Organizations like Auctioner and Entergy, we are here, we are doing this work. But having the NFL come in and provide additional funds that were not here locally before just makes it gives us an impetus that we didn't have before.
And there are other NFL programs, like we've done a lot of work with Source, right? The diversity programs, and they pick a certain number of small and nonprofits to work with. But really, in the message I spoke with Myesha Boyce earlier about this is like, yeah, even if you weren't selected, the message is that if you're a small business out there, partner with some of these bigger companies. Get partnerships. If that's a lasting message, you know, for some of these small businesses, because not everybody gets to participate in Source and or Impact. I would assume that would be the same for Impact, though, right? Try to grow, even if you weren't one of the ones selected, kind of partner up with some of these bigger companies and grow that way. She's going, Mike, that was a stupid question.
Maybe we lost her. I don't know.
Hey, Patty, this is Mike Haas. It was a lengthy, unfortunately. Did you catch that question?
No, I didn't. Can you repeat, please?
I will be brief. The impact of, like, Source, right, the diversity group and Impact, and the message, even if you weren't one of these ones selected, is that, and Myesha Boy says this with Source, is that partner with these bigger corporations, you know, get in your foot in the door and partner with them and grow kind of that way. And I guess my question was, similar situation, similar thought process with Impact?
Yes, absolutely. So one of the positive things is that we have, I mean, there were almost 600 organizations that submitted grant applications. So we now have organizations that are doing local granting. There are 600 applications that have been submitted, that have been vetted, and have been reviewed and are eligible for funding. We've already had inquiries from the NBA, who is looking to do a local funding program, and we can provide them with these 600 shovel-ready projects that they can invest in locally.
You know, and that goes with any number of premier events relative to sports that they can build on this, right? Whether it be the NBA or others, and even the wrestling, WWE.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
you kidding me? WrestleMania?
WrestleMania, yeah. Thank you. Which is huge. You know, doing these similar things, and you build on each one of those. And you're right. You align with organizations that have achieved success in this area, in this landscape. And there's so much to learn about it. And a lot of young not-for-profit organizations, Patty, and I think you'll agree, they don't struggle with their mission. They struggle with the financing of their mission.
Yeah.
So
that's always a challenge.
So because people will be out there going, that's great. That all sounds phenomenal. How do I get involved? What do I do? How can a bigger company that maybe wants to partner with a nonprofit, what can big, small, medium companies do out there who want to participate and help?
So one thing that all of these nonprofit organizations have in common is that they all need volunteers. And so I would encourage any company or organization that wants to get involved to go to the New Orleans Super Bowl Host Committee website. You can see a list of the organizations that have been funded by category. Find a category that is meaningful, that is aligned with your business, and reach out to those organizations and ask them what volunteer opportunities they have.
Yeah, get your foot in the door. I assume that's GNOSF.org, the host committee, or is there a different host committee? That's the we love acronyms
absolutely.
It's the Greater New Orleans host committee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even in the aftermath, you can go to the NOLA Coalition website because a lot of them are the same. And that's even a broader list.
Right, GNOSF, the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation.org is always looking for members, always looking for volunteers. It's a great way to network. Now, everybody wants to sign up for the Super Bowl, but there's a ton of events. We got the gymnastics coming. There are so many things that you have to, as you talked about, you have to leverage. I'm going to eventually get to a question, Patty. You have to leverage. You have to leverage what's happening in this week to be able to keep it going. You can't let this opportunity pass.
No, absolutely not. This is just the beginning of much more to come. And we'll have another Super Bowl because I think everyone has enjoyed everything so far so much that Commissioner Goodell said they'll be back and we're counting on it.
No doubt, for sure. Patty Riddlebarger, Chair of Impact 59 Legacy Grant Committee. Congratulations on the incredible work that y'all have done in leaving a lasting impact in our community, and we appreciate everything that you and your committee and all of the volunteers have done for our city, the place that we call home.
Yep, love it. Thank you,
Patty.
Thank
you. Thank you so much.
We'll be right back. 504-260-1870. I'm Newell Norman. He's Mike Haas. And we are here on Media Row at the Ernest N. Morial Convention Center. This is kind of the day they said it kind of wraps up here in the media. It kind of breaks up after today.
Yeah, there'll be some shows tomorrow, but then they kind of they move the media workroom and all of those places are at the Superdome will start to fill up as they start doing
their
work.
They start to go to where the actual event is, right?
Because they're really out beyond Monday night. There hasn't been, it's been about getting ready for the game. So it's been kind of cool.
I don't know about you, but I've kind of feel almost detached from the game itself. I hadn't really been reading a lot about it.
Hadn't talked much about it. So now's the time.
Absolutely. We'll be right back. Stay with us. That's right, folks. We are here, Media Row, at the Ernest M. Morial Convention Center, and we will be visiting with...
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice bone-in ribeye steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Roman Gabriel III in just a few minutes. He's finishing up an interview out in front of our booth, and we appreciate him joining us this morning. Mike, we mentioned earlier that we really hadn't talked much about the game. I mean, it's been all of the things around the game.
Let's talk about the game. You know what today is?
Today is Friday.
February 7th. On this day. 2010. 15 years ago,
we won.
The New Orleans Saints won the Super Bowl. So that's the game I choose to,
discuss today.
The weirdest part about it, and you'll remember this, we had an election on the 6th.
Right.
Right? And so it was, you know, the night before the biggest game, and we had an election. And so our coverage began at 8 o'clock on WBL TV. And so we were sitting in the truck, you know, down in South Beach, done for the day. We were, it's all election coverage. We're just sitting there, me and my producer, Joe Frizar, and Chris Slaughter was on the walk-talk. He goes, what y'all got for 7? We're like, what? He goes, we got a show from 7 to 8. 7 to 8, you got a show? What are you talking about? We had to have a preview show because the polls didn't close till 8, so we had to do something till 7. We were looking at each other, we forgot! We forgot! You talk about two cats scrambling together a show from 7 to 8 on that Saturday. Man, it's hard to believe it's 15 years. Really hard to believe it's 15 years.
I had an opportunity to go to the game. We went to Joe's Stone Crab that Saturday, and we walked down to South Beach from Joe's Stone Crab, and we had a lot of champagne.
Yes.
Too much. Not
statute of limitations is up. We're okay.
It's over. But we were walking. We were not driving. And I ran into Channel 6. I do the interview. I don't know what I said. I don't know what I said, what I did. We walked off, and all the girls were going to the Kardashian store, and we were going to go to the Saints where everybody was gathering at the daiquiri place for the Saints. And I look at the guys and I said, was that okay?
Was that live? I just do that?
It's like, didn't remember. But we could not have choreographed that trip any better. It was just absolutely, you know, phenomenal. And then bringing home the win was just so exciting. It was crazy.
I wanted to be, and I don't know if you felt this way, because I mean, you were with, you know, South Beach and enjoying, but I wanted to be here so bad.
Yeah.
So game ends. I'm on the field, confetti, but I'm by myself in an orange press vest. I'm like, Okay, I couldn't hug anybody. I'm running around trying to find somebody to celebrate with.
Right.
Michael Hebert took a picture of me, and I'm just like this loser standing in the middle of the field. And I know at home they are going berserk. And so we ended up doing television until 3:30 in the morning. Because it was East Coast. And so it was 3:30. We're sitting on the field. And then so we finished, and we're like, okay, well, it's Sunday. It's really Monday morning. No bars are open. So there's like 10 of us. We go to a Waffle House. That is how we celebrated.
Yeah.
Super Bowl 44 at 4 o'clock in the morning at a Waffle House, and we had to be back on the air in like 3 hours.
Well,
man, I wanted to be here so bad.
We went to the host hotel, spent some time over there, you know, when the Saints arrived and everything else. We went out. We didn't get back to the hotel. As we're pulling up in the hotel, the sun is rising over the Atlantic.
Yeah.
And we had a flight, thankfully, that afternoon, not that morning, because it was rough. But we worked our way down to South Beach, and that's where kind of everybody collected.
Yeah, special times, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we thought then, oh, my gosh, this is the beginning, right? Because we've been to the NFC Championship in 06 and the Super Bowl in 09. And we really thought, and we did.
Well, we got pickpocketed twice, right?
Right. I mean, so in, you know, the 2011 year, the 2013 year, of course, 2018. But so, man, you think that window, and if San Francisco were here, they have a game next year, they would say the same thing. You think your window is going to be open a certain amount of time?
Right.
It's not. And they shut faster and faster, which is, whether you like them or not, the run that Kansas City has pulled off. Only one other team in the history of football has made more AFC championship games, and that's New England. Made eight straight.
Eight straight.
And Kansas City's made seven straight. And prior to the seven run for the previous 55 years, they'd made three.
Three.
Three. New Orleans in their 58 years, three championship games. It's hard to get to. So whether you want to celebrate the Super Bowls and you're Kansas City, Philly, I celebrate the seven AFC championships because that is hard to do.
No doubt. Well, let's get to a break, we will be right back with Roman Gabriel the third, son of Roman Gabriel, the iconic quarterback for the LA Rams back in the 60s through the 70s, and he ended up as an Eagle.
He played last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We are still waiting for the arrival of Roman Gabriel III. Spoke to his agent earlier this morning. They said they would be here, but I guess they're being pulled in a bunch of different directions.
You do. You walk 5 feet, and somebody goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to even describe what's going on here, Mike.
Right. It's so cool, especially the international. And so you know, we talk so much about the growth of the international game. And we did. We had an international media weekend back in November, part of the host committee of public relations. And so they brought in, I don't know, 50, 60 people from around the globe. And I wasn't skeptical. I was just kind of like, well, what? And it was the story before the story. Brilliant idea. It was November 10th. It was the Atlanta Falcons weekend. So they get a new coach.
Right.
They get a victory over Atlanta, which is always gold. And we gave them a tour of the Superdome and just, you know, it was just all out. And the coverage from that, and I say that because the other day I was doing Ithaca College, right? A couple of guys from Ithaca, and I walked 5 feet and did an interview in Australia.
Yeah.
Because of they had been here before. So, man, that kind of promotional ability in this city, and they loved it. They loved it both times.
We interviewed a guy from UK Sports, which is kind of the ESPN of the UK. He was a hoot, a lot of fun. But he talked about how they've actually embraced American football and how big it is becoming over there.
Oh, yeah.
And he said the games, you know, being played abroad were very important to creating that momentum. And I was watching some news story. It was in the London Financial District, and I see people walking behind wearing NFL jerseys.
Right. Yeah. And that's the strange part about it. So the Saints played Minnesota in 22, and at Tottenham Hotspur, one of the soccer stadiums, a field removes, and under it is the football field. And that's the strange thing. You're walking to this game, and there's like five New Orleans jerseys, maybe a few Minnesota, and then it's every other team in the spectrum. It's every team. You're like, well, who's playing today, right? They all have their team, and irrespective, their team are not playing today, but they're sporting
their jerseys.
That's pretty cool. I thought that was, and that just shows you kind of the growth, and, you know, now it's Brazil. And
what surprised you the most about going overseas with an NFL game and covering it?
The game is the game, right? It's kind of their knowledge. Like, I was kind of curious because they don't, you know, it's like betting the over.
Right.
I think they were just rooting. Because the cheer for the Saints was very much like the cheer for Minnesota, and it was a very good game, very close, you know, last-second field goal. And so they want good football because, quite frankly, initially when they started this, no, you know, fault of anything, they didn't get great games, right? They've gotten a lot of Jacksonville. And so the NFL has worked enormously hard to, and you don't get to, when you make these games in April, you don't go, well, I don't know who's going to be what,
right.
But the games have been better. And I think that's been phenomenal. Germany was huge, right? Brazil, this past year where they opened up, it's tough. It just depends on where you are. And I say tough logistically.
Right.
First off, we're spoiled, right?
Yeah.
But even in London, we would drive an hour from the media hotel to the practice site, then an hour bus to the Saints hotel to get interviews, and then an hour back. That's 3 hours of every day on a bus. And it was terribly far. It was just a big city.
And
so the logistics, but the game itself is celebrated so much. And the Saints, I don't think in 25, but I think they'll be in that rotation soon enough.
Yeah. And that's what the guy from UK Sports was saying. He goes, he really feels like at some point in time there's going to be a franchise over
it's
there.
It's hard.
You know, they were banking on the guy that bought Jacksonville, right? And he says that, so a lot of that momentum and thought process in the UK was diminished after he ends up buying the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I don't know how you, I mean, I feel like you almost have to send two. Right, you almost have to send two teams.
I don't know. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Good gosh! And then how do they do Thursday? Right, the Thursday night games are already such a boat of contention.
Well, you know, one of the things that will change this, and I don't know if you were following this news story on supersonic travel.
No.
You know where they had this test of this jet recently. And they're moving towards commercial airlines being able to
go. Don't they go fast enough already? We're making them faster.
They go really fast.
Wow, supersonic.
So, you know, and then pressure cabins inside where they're able to do ground level when you're at, you know, 55,000 feet or something like that. So you don't have that jet lag,
right?
You know, thing going on.
That's a part of it.
You know, so really 20 years from today, I think traveling those distances.
That's true.
It's going to make it a lot easier for folks like the NFL and others that want to expand their franchise base.
Yeah. I used to live near Dulles Airport in Virginia, and the Concorde would land there frequently. And it was close to the airport. It would come down, and we'd see it, and we'd see it, and it would land, and about 30 seconds later, we'd hear it.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, well, wait a minute, what is that? So that's a good. I hadn't really thought about that, but they got the logistics are the problem. Really, more than anything else.
So let's talk about this game a little bit here. Still waiting on Roman Gabriel III, but your thoughts?
Over/under dropped to 48.5.
Oh, really?
I just saw that. I'm not much of a gambler, but I do like, you know, I got to make the game interesting. My wife's 4-0 since the playoffs have begun. We're not betting. We just kind of like, if you were to bet, this is what you would do.
What's wrong with you if she's 4-0?
I know. I mean, because it's my money. I would have been like 2-2, so I probably should have listened to her. You know, I think it's an interesting matchup. I think Philly is built to beat Kansas City, and I've said this before, I do believe that Philly has the team that can win. Their defense, and we played both teams. You know, it was 3-0 Saints in the fourth quarter against Philly, in a game they should have won. And quite frankly, in the Kansas City game, in the fourth quarter, it was 16-13, down by a field goal, right? Game could have gone, you know, a lot of different directions. Kansas City finds a way. I get that. But if Philly can get up, and Kansas City doesn't used to play from behind a whole lot, and you don't want to give them the last opportunity, But Philly has been able to run the ball. I can't even imagine Saquon Barkley that rips off a 60-yarder every game. That's insane. Of course, he did it against us.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the Philly's front four, their defensive front, is as good as they got. And they're able to put some pressure on Patrick Mahomes without having to stunt, without having to blitz a lot. You know, we got CeeDee Deuce in the backfield, Zach Bond, who's having just, you know, unfortunately, good for Zach, you know, but he had like 80 tackles in his 4 years with New Orleans. He had 151 this year. And they started, but he wasn't brought there to start. That was a Vic Fangio move. He was not brought there to be the starter and the, you know, the all-world
Mike, you hear
guy.
This a lot while we're on that topic. You know, and they want to blame the Saints organization and say, well, how come, you know, this player, and this player left and they're able to be so much more successful somewhere else? But it's really about the supporting cast, right? I mean, you create and synthesize the abilities and capabilities of these individual players. They mesh together sometimes better than others.
Yeah, and Zach got an opportunity. The key is you can't keep everybody.
Right.
And this team, since 2017, 2018, have been pushing their chips to the middle. Rightfully so. They were one or two players away. Should have won it all in 18, got robbed for it. So we win 2019 actual Super Bowl. We win that Super Bowl, which we should have. And if we had not gotten robbed, we win the Super Bowl, unquestionably. Then you have done what you wanted to do. Then it's okay to kind of rebuild a little bit. That's exactly what Tampa did. Tampa pushed all their chips to the middle. Tom Brady won them a Super Bowl. They had dead cap money for Brady for years. They didn't care. They won the Super Bowl. Saints did the same thing. They just push because they were in between, and this is my opinion only, they were in between blowing it up and getting a few players to get better. They just have not had good draft position. And, you know, this is going to be the first time since 2008 that they've drafted in the top 10. They have 9 picks, and they're still, but they've been over the cap so much. Kai Harley does a phenomenal, I give him my checkbook and go, here, fix this. The way that they just maneuver to get under the cap, but that doesn't give you the opportunity to get better. You do get some players, but I think it's about some really impact players now, because they're still not in a blow up situation, and they shouldn't be. They were 9-8 2 years ago, 7 game losing streak. I know fans are going, "Ah, you're crazy. It's time to blow it up." You can't blow it up right now. You still got Mickey, you got Derek, you got Alvin, you got the core people. So it's going to, you know, and the difference between 5-12 and 9-8 and 10-7 is nothing. Look at the Kansas City Philly game.
Absolutely. I mean, but you know, the irony too is you blow it up. How fast does anybody really believe they can rebuild it?
It's a few year process, but they're going to get.
It could be a 5 year process.
Their cap situation, but if not, you're going to keep. You know what's the saying? You keep banging your head into the wall, expecting a different result. So the cap situation is going to get better moving forward. We're like 26, it's better. 27 is better. First off, the number goes up. Saints start losing some of the dead cap money, so they'll be able to be bigger players. You know, this may be the year or next year where you go, we need to trade some people. We need to get draft capital. Atlanta picked 4th, 8th, 4th, 8th in like the last 5 years. And the Saints are picking 22 and 29, which, by the way, is a result of being damn good for many years.
Right.
And then I just think it's been a case of just going all in.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we got to get to a break. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us. All right, folks. We are back on Media Row. Mike Haas, Newell Norman. We're joined by Roman Gabriel III, who just was able to join us. He's trying to get his headset on, and we'll get that done.
Hey, guys.
All righty. Roman, thank you so much for joining us. Let me just start out by saying I was born in L.A. Back in 1958. And moved here very shortly thereafterwards. Always had an affinity to L.A. And your dad was my favorite quarterback of all time.
I've never heard that before.
The L.A. Rams, that single bar face guard, really enjoy. And he kind of changed the dimension of football, right? And
he did.
Was really throwing the ball. he and Johnny Yu at the time, if my memory serves
and
me
Joe
correct,
Namath too.
Said they had the strongest arm in the NFL. Your dad could throw the ball 70, 75 yards
no,
or something
75.
Crazy.
Not 75. He could throw it 100 standing up standing and 50 up. On two knees at the 50.
Oh,
line.
That's what the story. Man, I got, I
led,
got it.
The, led the league in touchdown passes twice with 24 and 23. So back in the day, doesn't sound like a lot. In fact, you'd be, wouldn't be
well,
in the top.
Well, they only threw it about 20 to 25
right.
times.
You wouldn't be in the top 10 now, but back then, that's huge.
The statistic that he's proudest of, though, is that he had the lowest interception to touchdown rate when he retired. It lasted another 5 or 6 years after that. So he was very serious about protecting the football. It's one of the reasons why the Rams were so successful is that you know, he was really a believer that sometimes you take the sack, sometimes you punt the ball, and you get rid of it, and you play field position.
Absolutely. Well, you, in his in celebrating his legacy, you start a non-for-profit called Sold Out Youth Foundation. Tell us what it does.
We're here tackling fentanyl, hashtag tackling fentanyl, hashtag saving lives, and we have an online school program that basically educates everybody involved through the school's already existing communication system. Right now, it's the number one killer of 18 to 48-year-old, number two killer of 5 to 14-year-olds. Poison that can be in candy, it can be in vape pills, or even fake prescriptions.
If folks have an interest in giving to your foundation, where do they go?
They can go to soldouttv.com. They can give there, but more importantly, we're giving you something to save lives today. Go to fentanyl education at soldouttv.com. You can take that, get that to your friends, family, everybody you know. Let's protect our kids.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Sorry for the – we have to get to
no,
a hard
no,
break.
No, I appreciate you guys.
Thank you, and best of luck to you.
No, thank you very much. And you need to – Fathead coming out of my dad, too. Legends Collection. That's the 69 awesome. Deal right there.
Hey, football fans. For those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.